and gentlemen, welcome to Behind the Bar Show's 50th episode with your host, Mr. Martini.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my 50th episode of Behind the Bar Show. This episode is going to have a different format as I want to go through the history of the show, but first let's go through listener feedback since episode 49. Hello, Bruce from San Diego. Bruce asked, how long should you shake a drink? Well, Bruce, I prefer to shake a drink with ice until the outside of the shaker tin starts to frost. If you're shaking a drink with egg white, I'll shake it first without ice to make sure it is completely emulsified. I'll then add the ice and again shake until the tin frosts. Thank you for the question, Bruce. Teresa from San Francisco emailed to say she discovered my podcast and is clamoring for more. She followed with, I know you have a pesky day job, and that gets in the way of creating postings more frequently, but please try. You're doing a terrific job, so keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Teresa, and I'm trying my best. Hello, Adam from Boston. Adam worked as a bartender in the Boston airport and had another bartender tell him to stop wasting his time chilling the cocktail glasses for his martinis, since he was going to shake it anyways and it would have a film of ice on top. Well, he would have to make it her way when she was around, but when she wasn't, Adam would revert to making it properly with chilled glasses. And all I have to say is, way to go, Adam. I'm sure your patrons could tell the difference. A chilled cocktail glass will keep a drink ice cold much longer, instead of a warm glass stealing heat from the liquid. Let me also give a quick shout out to some other individuals who sent me comments. Hello, Oscar from the UK. Rich, who left a nice comment on my Where Did Mr. Martini Go blog post. And Chris Steelman. Now, I really want to use this episode to thank all of my wonderful listeners out there, because if it wasn't for all of you, I never would have kept going and I never would have reached 50 episodes. Behind the Bar Show started in January of 2006 after a horrible motorcycle accident that caused me to go out of work and stuck at home for 2 months. I needed something to keep me from going stir crazy, and one of my coworkers talked me into trying podcasting. The rest, as they say, is history. Let's go back in time and check out a few moments from previous episodes, as well as voice messages from listeners. First, let's jump all the way back to my first episode. Enjoy the rather tinny sound. It was my first attempt at podcasting, after all. And this clip talks about what I wanted this podcast to be all about. Here it is. What I hope to do in the journey with podcasting is give you some history on the different types of alcohols and mixtures, and then get into the different types of cocktails themselves. I'll sprinkle in some really fun facts I've learned, and also give my opinions on how certain drinks should be made. My goal is not to make you accept the way I like certain drinks, but to inspire you to start experimenting and finding your own taste in certain cocktails. If I can get you to get a bunch of friends together for a cocktail party and enjoy the spirit of socializing, then I'll consider this podcasting project a success.
Wow, amazing how the audio quality has changed since the first episode to now. And man, did I start off on a bad foot. I would receive messages from people telling me I was a waste of their time because back then I never worked behind a bar. They didn't think working private parties and home studies made my information worth listening to. After 49 episodes and the thousands of emails and calls I've received, I'm honored that other listeners have proven those people wrong. I also stand on the ground of many famous mixologists, including the honored David Embury, who never worked behind a bar and is still considered one of the leading men in the world of cocktails. Just read his fantastic book, Fine Art of Mixing Drinks, and to see why. So, let's just move on here. Following the tinny sound days, we move on to episode 2, where I gave what I believe to be my only bartender's trick. It seems I kind of drifted towards famous quotes instead of the tips and tricks, but anyways, this is still my favorite trick when your stomach isn't very happy. So I just felt like, let's just add it one more time. We'll play it one more time now, 50 episodes later.
Got indigestion?
Try this remedy. Add about 3 dashes of Angostura bitters and 8 ounces of club soda. Down the entire thing and say goodbye to that upset stomach.
You know, I still like that trick. It works every time. The next one is just one opportunity for me to laugh at myself, basically. It's funny, the progression of my episodes and the things I've tried over time. We're stepping up to episode 3, which was on vodka. This is my intro clip. Why am I playing this? Because listen to the tone of my voice. Looking back, I cannot help but wonder, what was I thinking? It sounds like someone trying to do their worst impression of a radio personality. Anyways, as they say, if you cannot laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? Here, I'm definitely laughing at myself, so feel free to laugh with me. I have a feeling this won't be the only clip I get to make a fool out of myself with.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Bar Show. I'm your host, Mr. Martini. The topic of this week's episode is vodka. Later on the show, I'll give you some tips on how to make your own infused vodka creations. And during our break, we'll feature another famous quote, this time from Frank Sinatra. So grab your favorite cocktail, sit back, and enjoy the show. And remember, he who laughs last hasn't passed out yet.
Oh, those were the days. Hopefully I'm not boring all of you out there with this glance to the past. Maybe this episode is more for me to look back and really focus on how I got where I am today. I do hope you enjoy my journey. It's supposed to be entertainment, after all. Take a favorite shot of your favorite spirit every time I play a clip, and maybe by the end of the show, you'll enjoy everything. I believe episode 4 was the beginning of listener feedback, as well as a newer sound to the show as I started working with a better microphone. The sound was good, but I had to seriously amplify my recording because the microphone wasn't strong enough. I even mentioned in this episode I had my soundboard on order. What I didn't know was the problems that the soundboard and that Radio Shack microphone was going to cause me. Before we talk about that, here's a clip where you can hear the new Radio Shack microphone after it was amplified and used on the show. This clip is one of my favorite tidbits of information where the brown coloring in whiskey really comes from the barrel.
Here's an interesting thing about these charred oak barrels. This is where all the color comes from. When they char the inside of a barrel, you get that black charcoal. And if you were to cut the barrel in half, you would see the black charcoal on the inside. You would then see a very thin line of caramelized wood. It'd be red in color. And this is where that caramel, sweeter flavor comes from the wood, as well as a lot of that coloring, that caramel color you see. If you were to cut open a barrel after it's been used from aging bourbon, you would actually be able to see how far the bourbon soaked into the barrel. From the inside, you have the charcoal. You'll see the red coloring for the caramelization. And then you'll see where the whiskey actually went all the way through the barrel. Not all the way to the outside, luckily, but you know, halfway through it. And that's where basically all the color comes from.
Okay, so now I'm going to skip ahead a few, just because if I play a clip from every single 49 episodes, so we'd be here all day. So moving on, actually, I'm going to skip one episode right now. I'm going to jump over to episode 6, which was on rum. And it brings up my first product endorsement. During this episode, I mentioned Agua Luca Cachaça. I've always and will always give my honest opinion in all things. I refuse to sell out, if you will. That said, let me explain how Agua Luca ended up in this episode, including special recipes made from bartenders using this product. What happened is I received a message from Agua Luca, the manufacturer, and it seems the owner loves my show and wanted to send me a bottle to try. Here's what I tell all companies that want to send me their product. I will gladly accept a free sample, but will not accept any advertising money. I mentioned they should only send me their product if they don't mind me telling the truth on the show. If I really like something, then they're going to get free advertisement because I want you all to know about it. If I don't like it, I'll most likely just thank them for the sample and not mention it at all. If I do, it wouldn't be a positive review then. Agua Luca was the first sample I received from a distillery, and may I say I was excited. What do you know? Now I'm getting free booze in the mail just because of this little hobby. So luckily for Agua Luca, I really enjoyed their cachaça. That unique raw sugarcane flavor really came through, yet it is quite smooth. Much smoother than other brands like Ipioca. Here's a great story. I gave a recipe on this episode that it was a recipe that was made by a bartender in Las Vegas. A week after my episode released, I was contacted by the owner of Agua Luca again, saying that the bartender contacted him, letting him know he had people coming into his bar asking for this drink and saying they learned about it from an internet show. This, of course, made me very happy, and I will admit I was happy to receive yet another thank you bottle of cachaça and a t-shirt. What can I say? I like free liquor. Here's the clip of me giving out that recipe.
Want to try something with really great flavor? Try the Agua Luca Brazilian Love Potion. Yeah, baby. Remove the stems from 2 strawberries and slice them up. Get 3 wedges of fresh pineapple and make sure it doesn't have any rind or core. Place this into a shaker and muddle the fruit until it's well pulverized. Now add 2 ounces of Agua Luca cachaça, 1 ounce fresh lime juice, and 3/4 ounce rock candy syrup, which I had already mentioned you can get at Trader Vic's. You can also use our simple syrup if you can't find the rock candy syrup. Now fill with ice and shake until it's well chilled. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass, and for a garnish, take a strawberry, make a slice into it with your paring knife, and slide the strawberry onto the rim of the cocktail glass for garnish. This drink was created by Robert Bobby G. Gleason, the Rio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
Cachaça has a very interesting flavor. Some love it, some don't. Smell the bottle and pour a small taste. That unique smell and flavor comes from the raw sugarcane. It blends very well with fruits, thus the reason why the caipirinha drink is such a hit. To learn more about that drink, listen to my episode 6. I want to mention another cachaça I recently tried and absolutely enjoy. It's called Leblon. Leblon cachaça is unique in that they age it for a short 2 months in vintage cognac casks. It adds a barely visible tinge of color and an interesting subtle flavor addition to the cachaça. I must say that I am currently crazy about a classic caipirinha made with Leblon. If you find a bottle of Leblon, try it. I think you'll find it very tropical. Now how about we change gears and play a little collage of listener feedback from the last 2 years. Enjoy.
Hey, Mr. Martini, this is Sandy from BeABondGirl.com. How are you doing?
Hey, a couple of things. One, I enjoy your show. It's a quality product. Appreciate it. Number two, I always thought there should be a drink called a Sandy Ass. Maybe you want to put that together.
Hey, Mr. Martini, this is Brad from Precise TV. We really enjoy your show.
Hi, Mr. Bartender. This is Wes from Chicago. I run a French bistro here.
Good morning, Mr. Martini. It's Ian from Delaware. I just wanted to give you a quick shout-out or whatever you want to say. Just say hey.
Hi, I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I just want to tell you that I love your podcast. I'm a bartender, and I look forward to the next episode.
Hi, this is DJ Joe from Lindenhurst, New York. First off, let me say thanks. I love the podcast.
Hello, Mr. Martini. Sunshine from the Zen Tiki Lounge.
Hi, this is Keith from Alaska, from Juneau, Alaska, in the Alaskan Hotel and Bar.
Hey, Mr. Martini, this is Joe from Lindenhurst.
Hey, Mr. Martini, this is Ian from Sun City, California. I just want to say I love your show. I've been a supporter for you for a while now.
Hi, I'm just calling to let you know I've really enjoyed your podcast several times. I haven't listened to the whole series yet, but I think you do good work. It's quality, and I appreciate you doing it. Just wanted to call and let you know. Have a good day.
Hey, Mr. Martini, this is Armando. I live in Galesburg, Illinois.
Cheers, Mr. Martini. It's 1:35. I am re-listening to your latest episode about bitters, and your 2069, the bar, whatever phone number it's called. This inspired me to call. I'm out messing around by the light of the neighbor's street light that he's got in his yard. I'm messing around in my garden. Just planting some tomatoes.
Well, first off, I enjoy your show very much. It's good. Appreciate it.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Martini? Find out where you've been at, man. It's been over a month. Haven't seen nothing new up on the website.
Now, Ian from Smyrna, Delaware, left a shout-out on my Frapper map saying, drink more, it makes for a funny show. Well, Ian, I have a kamikaze shot sitting right here next to me, so thanks for listening, and this shot is dedicated to you. Cheers. Ah, tasty.
Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed the show, and have a great night.
Love the show, and can't wait for the next episode. Have a good day.
You have a good time. Keep up the great work with the show, and I'll holler at you later.
Thanks a lot. See you on the podcast. Thanks for the show. It really helps us out, and just appreciate all the work you put in. So have a nice one. Bye.
Love the show, by the way. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thanks very much. I've been enjoying the show since the first episode or so, and keep them going.
Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work with the show. Bye-bye.
And welcome back. Can I just say how much fun that was putting that together? You know, I may no longer have the 206 number anymore, but I still enjoy receiving voice messages from people recording themselves and sending it to me in an attachment, in an email to behindthebarshow@gmail.com. I really enjoy receiving audio. If you've wanted to send me a comment to me, try recording it in audio and send me a wave, an MP3, or whatever format you save it in. I may play it in a future episode. Earlier, I talked about how my sound was still evolving. I got my sound mixer, but to use it with the cheap Radio Shack microphone, I had to crank the gain, which made a hiss in the background. I finally decided to step it up another notch and purchased a condenser mic, which uses phantom power and turned out to be a very strong microphone, allowing me to clean up the sound nicely. I finished it off with a shock stand so it didn't receive a bang when I accidentally hit the table, or in a pop filter so that my P's and my T's don't cause popping noises. This is the setup I still use, and it works wonderfully, except I have a new computer, which seems to make a lot more humming noise, and I bet that's probably coming through, but you know, it's my first episode since purchasing a new computer, so we'll see. This setup was first put into place around my 13th episode, which was an interesting Easter episode. How did I tie Easter into drinking alcohol? Well, drinks made with eggs, of course. Sounds strange? If you haven't heard my episode 13, check it out. Until then, here's a clip from episode 13.
So today we're talking about egg and drinks. Now, why use an egg in any kind of drink? Well, for one thing, egg whites make a drink frothy, and it actually gives it a velvet texture when the egg white is fully emulsified into a drink. It's not really about adding any flavor. There's not much flavor to it to add to your drink. It's more about the texture. So if you do searches online for information about eggs in drinks, you'll find that there seems to be a big backlash against it. It seems like adding eggs to drinks has definitely become unpopular in today's times. I don't know if it's just because of the thought that raw egg is disgusting, or if it's the scare of salmonella. I haven't heard of any reported cases of salmonella poisoning from people making drinks with eggs like eggnog, but since salmonella is a true danger when using raw eggs, You can use pasteurized eggs or buy the cartons of Egg Beater's egg whites, which are pasteurized and they are safe to use.
And there you go, an episode on drinks made with eggs. If you'd like to hear the rest of that episode, like I said, it's episode 13. Check it out. Now, by the time I reached episode 16, I realized I needed to do a show on non-alcoholic drinks. And I needed to take the opportunity to take on the serious topic of alcohol abuse. Let's hear a small clip from that episode.
Now, about not drinking and driving, let's also salute those brave souls that put up with us and drive us home safely. I'm talking about the designated drivers. I would love every single one of you to make me an oath. If you drive, be a designated driver for a bunch of friends at least once. If you have a group of friends and want to go out to a good Mexican restaurant and plan on slamming down pitchers of margaritas, offer to be the designated driver. Now, don't think you won't have any fun. Being with a bunch of drinkers can be hilarious. Are you kidding me? And after the night is over and you personally made sure that everyone got home safely, you'll feel good for doing it. Your friends' lives are worth it, right? Yours too? If you don't drive, offer to pay a cab to drive someone home that has had too much to drink.
Now, that's just a small little serious clip from episode 16. But if you're interested in drinks that look like cocktails but don't have any alcohol in them, go back and check episode 16. You may really enjoy it. Now, how can I do the best of episode without mentioning my 25th episode, which was on the martini? Let's take a listen to a part of that show talking about stirring versus shaking.
Now, I prefer my martinis and Manhattans stirred. If you stir a martini for a correct amount of time, you can get it just as cold as if you've shaken it, as well as the correct amount of water from the melting ice. As mentioned, a shaken martini will be cloudy and not that clear, eloquent cocktail you picture in your mind when you hear martini. Being cloudy doesn't make it taste any better or any worse. It's just full of bubbles. So it changes the texture. Some people believe a martini must have ice floating on the surface, showing it is truly cold enough. Well, this will not happen when you stir. It doesn't mean it's not as cold as the martini with ice floating on it. It was just stirred, which doesn't break the ice cubes. Shaking, on the other hand, can be violent enough to crack the ice cubes and cause ice shavings to slide through the strainer and float on top of your martini. So when did martinis seem to change to something shaken instead of stirred? Well, I think we may be pointing back to the famous people that were admired. As I had just mentioned, James Bond wanted his martinis shaken, not stirred. I know I've given this quote before as well, from the 1934 movie The Thin Man. Also, just note for a second, just thinking about this, note the year, which just happened to be right after Prohibition was appealed. Nick Charles said, "Always have rhythm in your shaking. Now on Manhattan, you always shake to foxtrot time. A Bronx, to the two-step time. A dry martini, you always shake to waltz time." This isn't to say every famous person was out to change martinis to shaken instead of stirred. An English playwright and novelist named William Somerset Maugham is quoted as saying, "Martinis should always be stirred, not shaken, so that the molecules lie sensuously one on top of the other." It was also quite common to hear people say that shaking a martini bruised the gin. Now, I like my martini stirred, but it's not because I'm afraid of bruising the gin. I still don't truly understand what that's even supposed to mean. Bottom line, I do it for texture and clarity. End of story.
And the shows go on and on. Over these 50 episodes, I've taught you about gin, vodka, whiskey, rum, tequila, brandy, absinthe, setting up a home bar, aperitifs and digestives, drinks with egg, amaretto, Baileys and Kahlua, non-alcoholic cocktail lookalikes, shooters, schnapps, summertime cocktails, 4th of July drinks, martini, sweet and sour, Midori, punch, hot drinks, beer, cocktail calories, bitters, highballs and lowballs, liquor laws, history of prohibition, sake, and even ice. Yes, I had to write all this down just to be able to read them because, you know, I'm really amazed the amount of topics I've been able to do over the last couple of years. Most of these episodes were audio, but with my dear friend Sandy from Be a Bond Girl, the podcast and beabondgirl.com, I also branched into video. So where will the show go from here? Well, you know, only time will tell. I'm grateful for the time I've spent doing this show. I promise to always keep every episode online and available on iTunes, RSS feeds, and on my website for as long as I possibly can. I still get messages from people who just found me and go back to the beginning and listen to all the episodes. It's truly my desire to leave these shows up so it can continue to educate people on the topic of drinks. It's just amazing to me to look back and see the vast amount of information I've been able to share with Behind the Bar Show. Teaching others the joy of quality cocktails became a true passion. I've enjoyed the message, all the messages I've received from college kids over the age of 21, of course, telling me they've moved away from the mantra of drinking just to get drunk and instead are now enjoying alcohol in a responsible manner, and they're now looking for quality. This makes it all worth it. So what is Mr. Martini planning next? Honestly, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'll be doing for my next Behind the Bar Show episode or when it'll come along. I cannot say if it will continue to be audio. There's a chance I may go video, or at least a mix of both for a while. I have now branched into a new business that should be quite popular here in the Bay Area. It's like a private cocktail party and a learning workshop all in one. It's called Mr. Martini's In-Home Cocktail Seminar. If you live around San Francisco and would be interested in hosting an in-home seminar, email me at behindthebarshow@gmail.com for more information. Basically, my current workshop is called Cocktail 101. I come to your home with a portable bar and teach you and your friends, up to 12 people, the history of four drinks, make a sample for you all, and then everyone gets a chance to make each drink under my teaching. The drinks made in this workshop are the Dry Martini, Old Fashioned, Margarita, and the Cosmopolitan. The seminars have received a lot of positive responses, and I hope the success continues. Oh, and before I end, I want to mention a couple more brands I've recently tried and would like to recommend. First, most of you know I'm not much of a vodka drinker. I tend to go towards spirits that add some flavor instead of just alcohol. That said, though, many great drinks are made with a smooth, clear, virtually flavorless alcohol, vodka. I have a brand I want to mention because it isn't a high-priced vodka, yet I consider it to be just as good, if not better, than all the expensive ultra-premium vodkas that are out there with the fancy bottles and sexy advertising. It's a Polish vodka made from rye called Sobieska. It may be difficult to find, but if you do find it, give it a try if you're a vodka fan. I did a taste test with some friends by pouring different vodkas in shot glasses and chilling them. And I had your basic vodkas as well as ultra premiums, and I was amazed that this vodka won hands down. And you want to know the best part? This vodka retails for $10.99 for a 750-milliliter bottle. And the other spirit I want to mention is a scotch. Many of you know that I've changed my favorite blends on many spirits many times, but my choice in scotch has always stayed the same, Lafroig 15-year. I'll drink 12 year if 15 isn't available, but it is harsher. And I won't even touch the 30 year stuff. Absolutely nasty. It tastes like the smell of a freshly opened Band-Aid, pretty much. The 15 year Lafroy neat is just heaven to me, though. I have found another scotch, also from LA, that I just love. Unfortunately, it is a lot more expensive, so I'll only enjoy this on rare occasions. It's pretty much over the $100 range. But it's scotch from Ardbeg, and specifically their non-chill filtered bottle called Uig Adail. It's spelled U-I-G-E-A-D-A-I-L. This scotch has close to the same flavors that I enjoy in Lafroy, but the finish is the most amazing part. After taking a small taste, letting it coat the inside of your mouth and swallow carefully, you're hit with an aftertaste that shows off the sherry casks that it was aged in. The sherry really affects this scotch, and it's truly an amazing flavor and worth experiencing if you get the opportunity. So I hope you've enjoyed this little look back through the history of the show, and I look forward to whatever the future may bring. Have questions or comments? Feel free to email me at behindthebarshow@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to respond. Cheers, everyone. Thank you again, and as always, please drink responsibly and don't drink and drive.